Should we just torture Grant by never actually starting?
Yeah, and hold on a second.
Yeah.
Okay, and three and two and.
Hey, and welcome to the show. It's Dan Klass recording under the flight path here at Los Angeles International Airport. It's a gorgeous Monday. We haven't spoken in a while. I know, I've been very busy. And that's why, basically. I hope you're doing well. Today is not a normal bitterest pill, and I'll tell you why. The bitterest pill is in the process of, what's the term? Remember in school, you know, almost every year in grade school, you would eventually get to the same topics in every class, right? And every year, at one point or another, you'd start to learn about single-celled organisms and when they split. What is it when they split? You know what I mean? A single-celled thing will split, or like an amoeba will split. What do they call it? Whatever that is, that amoeba splitting thing. Genes. It's not gene splitting. It's whatever. Anyway, the point is this: the bitterest pill is in the process. It's going to be kind of a slow process, I think. We're going to see how it goes, of splitting. And basically what it's going to be is there will eventually be two separate shows. And one will be The Bitterest Pill, which will be me by myself here, ideally under the flight path, recording the normal show. The show that I know and love. The other show will be me interviewing people and hanging out. And it'll probably be a little more raw, a little more adult. I may not watch the language quite as fiercely as I do on this, The Bitterest Pill. I shouldn't say this, because this isn't actually The Bitterest Pill right now. So where we're going with that is this. So The Bitterest Pill will always be The Bitterest Pill, and that will always be the show. But then there will be this other show. So you, the listener, will know, as you're downloading, before you're listening, whatever, what it's going to be. If it's going to be me alone telling some story about how I've messed up something yet again, or if it's going to be me finally having some sort of interaction with another human being. Now, for a lot of you, I know that you don't really need to hear me have interaction with other human beings. You want to hear me talk about having interaction. And I understand. I understand completely. The truth is, I prefer the show in some ways when I'm by myself. But there are other times when I got to tell you, and maybe it's just the way that I best kind of deal with people, I really enjoy hanging out and talking into a mic with a friend or a colleague who is also talking into a mic. So what this is this show today is not The Bitterest Pill. It is one of a series of experiments I'll be doing leading up to the new show. And during this metamorphosis, the other show is going to be called The Other Dan Klass Podcast. Now, that is not the name of the other show, the Splinter Interviewee Show. That's just the name of this is one of the metamorphosis shows, and that's what this is. So for those of you that are listening with kids, we do slightly get into adult themes, which I guess I sometimes do, but we don't quite beat around the bush as much as usual. Now, there's no bombs. I do take the Lord's name in vain a couple times, okay? So if you can't deal with that, turn it off now. Both of you who can't take that. It should come as no surprise to any of you that I am a heathen. I mean, you know, I try to keep the show clean, but I'm still, you know. So, anyway, basically, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first installment of The Other Dan Klass Podcast recorded live. Well, you'll hear. Hey, and welcome to The Other Dan Klass Podcast. Yeah, this is the first edition of the first ever The Other Dan Klass Podcast.
All right.
With me today, thank you. We're recording from Studio 101 here at the brewery, the LA Podcasters home base. Thanks to the fine, who knows what, chutzpah, blood, sweat, and tears of Lance Anderson. I'm here today with Tim Coyne of the Hollywood Podcast, who had the audacity to have me on his show as a guest. What the Other Dan Klass Podcast is so many people complain, not complain. A few people have complained. A few people have commented that they prefer it when I don't interview people. They would prefer that I just, you know, told the kind of the stories that I like to tell that make me seem like an a-hole.
Right.
They prefer that stuff.
They want to hear about your life, not about someone else's life.
I don't know about that, but maybe they just don't like when I interview people. I don't know. I, being a shut-in, every once in a while need to talk to another human being.
Right.
You can understand that.
I can.
Yeah. So this is an experiment. We may be doing a thing called the Other Dan Class Podcast. And you know what? I'm going to put it on the same feed because I'm too lazy to not put it on the same feed for now. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see, Tim.
You and I spoke about this because in a way we have the opposite problem. I'm not, you know, I usually talk to other people.
Exactly.
And now I'm wanting to maybe talk more about myself.
Oh, yourself. See there? We'll meet at the crossroads.
And you're thirsting to kind of sit down with people.
Exactly. So let me introduce you properly. Tim Coyne is the host producer of The Hollywood Podcast at thehollywoodpodcast.com, right?
That's right.
Okay. Your show is about not really just show business, and it's not, you know, kind of your Access Hollywood look at show business. It's more the other part of show business, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, part of me figures that other people are doing the other thing and probably better than I would. And not only that, I can't talk to those people.
Right, right.
So,
do you really want to be John Tesh?
No, I don't want to be John Tesh.
Right.
Yeah, and I feel like these are the stories that aren't being told, and
right.
Often they're really interesting.
Right.
You know, the person that, like, maybe they almost made it.
Right.
Or they thought they made it.
Yeah, and it turns out they didn't make it so much.
And then they didn't make it.
Right.
But they're still here. And you and I talked about this when I interviewed you,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just how, of course, they're still here.
Right, you can't leave L.A.
None of us are going to leave.
No. Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case the big break comes.
I'm still here. It could happen.
Now, you've been in L.A. for a long time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Seven or eight years.
Yeah?
Notice
don't you love that question?
You notice because I don't really, I know.
You just got, yeah, you're like me,
yeah.
Plus two, carry the four.
Yeah, I just booked a pilot 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, it's been, yeah.
Well, when someone, like if I'm your agent and I'm trying to pitch you to somebody.
Right.
You know, you've got to be the guy that did such and such. I mean, that's how they pitch people, right?
Yeah, like, hey, you got to see this guy.
You've got to see this guy. He's the guy that did the thing on that show with the guy with Joni Loves Chachi or whatever,
right.
Whatever. Like, what is your big claim to fame at this point, outside of podcasting? Because obviously,
well, as an actor, my biggest moment was booking a part in an ABC pilot.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that was
as a reoccurring character.
No, I mean that was the thing. I mean that's why it's not that big, but
right.
a good role.
Because this is how the conversation always goes, right?
I know.
What's the biggest thing you've done? I was in a pilot. Oh really?
Yeah.
Were you one of the stars? Well,
I know.
No, I got killed in this first act.
But. The truth is, if people don't have a smart follow up questions like you just had,
uh-huh.
I just kind of leave that vague. It's not I'm not lying.
It's an act of
omission,
right?
Instead
exactly.
of commission, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just kind of say, oh, yeah, I booked a pilot a few years ago. And they're thinking, oh,
ooh,
like you were going to be a regular on
right.
the pilot.
Yeah.
But no, it was I was just playing a character in this pilot. It's called Eyes with Tim Daly and like all these faces that you've known before.
Sure,
and
yeah.
they canceled it after, you know, three episodes or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it was
2 years ago.
Was it broadcast?
Yeah.
Oh, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I guess you didn't see it.
No. I don't watch Tim Daly.
No.
As a rule.
You know what? He's got Pierce Brosnan disease, though. He seriously, the guy's getting better looking with age.
He is, actually.
It's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
Because Wings was, what, 20 years ago? I mean.
Wings was, very, very early 90s, maybe?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I talked about this on your show. When I first moved out here, I got a job as a PA for like $150 or $200 a week.
Right.
Working on a show that Tim Daly was the star of.
Yeah.
And
the creator was this schlub called David Chase.
David Chase, yeah, yeah. But I hated Tim Daly so bad because I was so insanely jealous of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just not good. And he knew I was jealous of him. And he would,
Yeah. Well,
whatever.
It didn't last. So there you go.
See there?
Yeah.
And now he's getting his ass kicked on The Sopranos every once a season or so.
Oh, what? Wait. Oh.
Tim Daly, yeah. They bring him on The
Sopranos
every once in a while. Yeah. He's got this like vaguely reoccurring character.
Oh, that's interesting. So you watch it and you know that that's because...
Oh, I watch Sopranos religiously, sure.
But you watch it knowing that he's on
that
there
David
because
he and
they
David
go
Chase
way
go back.
Back
to like 87 or 88. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. It was really
weird.
Yeah,
so that, you know, that is my biggest...
An ABC pilot?
You know, my most disappointing moment was, in booking, you know that nothing's ever a done deal.
No.
You know?
No.
I booked a part on Jiminy Glick.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, and it was a really big moment because I hadn't booked any legitimate comedy stuff. And this could have been maybe a turning point just to get some credibility in that area.
Right.
Because at the time I was doing Groundlings and I was, you know, I didn't, I eventually got the heave-ho from Groundlings, which is, it's an improv, famous
sure.
improv
right.
school. And you basically just keep on going till they say, we don't, you've right. hit, you've hit it, the ceiling.
I think you're done here.
Yeah, you're done here.
Right.
So I, you know, I went to a decent point before they booted me.
Now, so everyone knows, the Groundlings is essentially, if you do keep going, you end up on Saturday Night Live. I mean, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it basically...
At least there definitely was an era in there where...
Or at least you're working. I mean, it ends up, you're either going to be on the Sunday Company, which is kind of like the JV team.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Groundlings team. And you know what? If you're there, you're
getting scouted pretty hard.
Either you're going to end up as maybe even a writer somewhere, but you're going to be a working gig.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't make it that far. But I booked this gig on Jiminy Glick as a German performance artist. I was so excited about it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and then they cut the sketch.
Oh, really?
I didn't even get to go to do it.
Oh, you didn't even shoot it?
No, it wasn't. That would have been actually more painful, I think. It was more like booked it. Hey, everybody. Hey, mom. Hey, you know, brothers.
Really?
And then, sorry, Tim. They cut that whole sketch.
Yeah, see, but a lot of... I'm trying to think if I've ever been cut out of anything. Well, a commercial, I guess. But like a friend of mine landed a Seinfeld back in the day. A friend of mine from my acting class, and he was so excited, and he was working with Bette Midler. I think he was a fan of Bette Midler, if you wink, wink, know what I mean? And so he shot this thing, and he was playing like Bette Midler's assistant, and then they played softball together, and da-da-da-da-da, cut. Completely just cut from the scene. Cut from the show.
Like, I was going to say that they just eliminate that. Yeah,
just that character is just completely removed
from
the
show. They just somehow
removed. Yeah.
That's
and knowing that but knowing that process and knowing the script revisions and the weeks of rehearsal and all that, I still don't understand how that happens.
Well,
unless your friends just lie to you and they say, as the second AD is signing your extra voucher, they're like, oh yeah, I had a line to it. You know, I mean, I don't know.
No, that is surprising because I did a show called The Big Break, Friendly Fire, about this friend of mine who.
Yeah.
You know, in the Friends heyday, he was cast as a recurring character to Jennifer Aniston's Rachel.
Right.
A recurring boyfriend.
Right.
This is big. 5 to 7 episodes. The show is getting, 30 million people a week. He got fired. Fired. On day one of rehearsals.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
You know you screwed up when you get fired on day one.
Oh, yeah. And everyone in his life knew, and he's driving home from day one. He knew it didn't go well.
Yeah.
But his manager
but
calls
when you get
him
that
and
call.
Says, yeah, and says, what the hell did you say?
Right.
What did you say?
What could you possibly do on day one?
You know,
like day three, okay, maybe you're getting annoying, but day one?
Well, even me in the interview, I said, okay, so that's day one, because I knew he got fired. I didn't know the whole story. And I said, okay,
he's got 5 or 6 days to get fired.
Yeah. He's like, that's it. I go, what? He goes, I got fired.
That day.
I'm like, that was day one? Everything you just told me happened on day one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good.
He messed up.
Yeah. And then I'm sure what that guy did for the next 6 months is waited for that episode, watched it, ate his heart out, every other episode that cat got the job.
Yeah.
Like you see who got it, then you see and I'm sure that the guy had a career.
He knew he was screwed when he was in the scene. He had to kiss Jennifer Aniston. So like like most actors, you have to rehearse. He's like, I got to rehearse. Hey Jennifer, should we kiss for a little bit here and rehearse? And he knew he was in trouble when he was kissing Jennifer Aniston, and he came up from the kiss, and Matt LeBlanc, Joey from across the room, was like, hey, what's up with that kiss?
Yeah.
And he knew. He's like, oh, shit. Maybe I'm pushing my luck here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
not good.
Yeah.
When you get a chance to kiss Jennifer Aniston...
You might as well go for it.
I guess, yeah. Even if you get fired? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. She looks a little too much like my sister for me to get that hot and bothered by her. It's one of those weird, like...
Yeah. I think you could get around that.
Yeah, maybe in person. Maybe in person.
I'm just saying, if you weren't married, you...
Right.
Maybe didn't... Well, yeah.
But I just love how the tabloids and the, like, people were trying to make comparisons between Aniston and Angelina Jolie. Like, during the Brad Pitt transitional phase from Aniston to Jolie.
Yeah.
As if Jennifer Aniston is actually as hot as Angelina Jolie.
Right.
Is there a planet where Jennifer Aniston is as hot as Angelina Jolie?
There may be a planet, but I'm not aware of it.
Because Jennifer Aniston, her appeal is you feel like if you met her, you could maybe land her.
Yeah, her appeal is, yeah.
You could actually meet a girl that looks like that.
You might have gone to a girl from from college.
Right, maybe your high school sweetheart or whatever.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie, you figure if you meet her, God help you if she wants to screw you.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. And it's going to happen when she says it's going to happen.
And it's going to hurt.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
And you know what? If you lose your life, so be it.
So I'll take my life, please.
Right. Exactly.
Oh.
But that's why I don't understand the comparison. College roommate's girlfriend versus fatal coitus.
Right, and you just lose your mind. Like, now, the worst case would be she gives you some attention and then pulls that attention away from you.
Right. Like, what if halfway through she gets a call?
Yeah.
She leaves your trailer, and then you're ruined for the rest of your life.
The rest of your life.
The Tomb Raider was on top of you, and then boom, she's gone. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be it.
By the way,
can I use the word screw in a podcast?
You absolutely can. You know,
I'm not sure if I can.
Oh.
I have this Christian contingency
that's funny you say that, because when you just use those words, because, you know, your show, this is fun. This is a new show for you. You can do this.
I don't know.
Can you? Are you going to hear some crap about that?
I can't put it in the same. I don't know. Someone actually.
I'm going to go on iTunes and trash you. Bastard.
Yeah, someone went on iTunes and was like, "Yeah," and he made a joke where he said "GD." He couldn't even type it out. He said "GD" three times, and it wasn't even funny.
I mean, come on.
Like, we know Lance is here. Well, everybody's here. Like, Craig Patchett, who seems fairly confident in his Christianity, would he really take kind of bristly offense to my saying "God damn"? It's pretty benign, right? But this guy, he said GD three times. Oh, it wasn't even funny.
Like, he didn't even say it in his critique of saying it.
He said it.
He didn't. He said GD.
He said G, quote, G, the letter G, the letter D, end quote.
Right.
Like, he said GD. First of all, I was quoting my three-year-old daughter.
Oh, yeah,
my
that was funny.
My three-year-old daughter.
That was when she's on
the
computer.
Yeah, my wife turned off the monitor. She goes, "God damn it!" And I just thought
you guys
was
are
funny.
Trying
like,
to, like,
it's funny.
You were trying,
we're trying
to be
to
hard,
reprimand her as we're laughing our asses off. Like, our three-year-old just said, "God," you know, it's just puritanical.
I know.
That's what happens if you don't swear. People think you're going to never swear or something. I don't know.
Well, it's a dangerous,
it's a dangerous precedent.
It's a dangerous precedent.
Particularly if you used to perform stand-up and swear.
Yeah.
All the time.
And there's something cramping about it. I mean, I remember, you know, when Stern was going to Satellite, a lot of people were like, "Oh, your show's, you know, it's not going to be good because you can swear all the time." And it's not about swearing all the time. It's about just
not having to worry about it
because if you do, who cares?
Right. Exactly.
You know, I saw Owen Wilson at the stairs of Santa Monica the other day, just running the stairs.
Really?
Yeah.
Owen?
Owen Wilson.
Where are the stairs of Santa Monica?
At the end of 4th Street, there are these stairs where it's kind of like the real hip place to go, like run stairs and get in
Seriously?
Shape. Yeah.
And fourth and what? That just seems so like
it's not even. It's like fourth ends, and there's a hill.
Pacific Coast Highway, really.
Yeah.
San Vicente.
Yeah, San Vicente. Yeah.
So Gwyneth Paltrow spends her whole day driving away to avoid paparazzi.
Yeah.
And Owen Wilson is running stairs.
He's running stairs, and I'm there thinking, you know, at the very least, I'm just going to be in shape. I got nothing else going on, but I'm just going to be fit. And I'm wondering
Owen Wilson.
Yeah, and I scootered there. Like, I scootered here today.
Yeah, you're scooting.
And I'm thinking about where my next meal's coming. And I'm passing this guy in the stairs, and I'm just thinking, oh, he must just have this different feeling inside.
Yeah.
I'm like, eh.
I'm a millionaire feeling inside.
Yeah, I'm in between projects.
Yeah. Later on, I'll call Ben and see if he wants to run stairs with me tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm trying to talk like
I'll call
Wilson.
And see if Jackie Chan can work out.
And they're begging him, like, he's getting calls.
Yeah.
Please do Wedding Crashers too. We'll
please,
pay you
God,
$8 billion. Dollars.
Vince is in if we can get you. And he's running stairs with Tim Coyne, the famous podcaster.
But, But actually, it's funny. I wanted to time it, so I ended up getting on either the bottom or the top when he was there, and we're both resting like we're comrades.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're panting.
We're
with
the
Luke
same
Wilson.
Guy. Hey. And I was going to, and I wasn't going to, I just wanted to throw it out to him. That, hey, buddy, you should podcast, man. No actors are taking advantage of this. Jack Black is doing this thing for his new film, Nacho Libre,
that's true,
or whatever.
True.
But I'm surprised big name actors aren't trying to take
people
in.
Yeah, they will. Have you watched the Jack Black thing? He looks like he has a gun to his head.
He's miserable, man.
He's like, is this in the contract? Because, you know, You can't, you know, the facial expression is just, yeah. He just looks miserable. Like, Philip Seymour Hoffman would never have to do this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, the most recent one, you watch him play, like a PSP.
Really? It just there's an extra he thinks he should be banging somewhere, and instead he's got to do his Nacho Libre podcast.
He's miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, this misery was actually probably a year ago.
It totally was.
Right, exactly. Who are we kidding?
They just filmed it and then they throw it out there.
Jack, come run stairs with me.
Yeah. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Nacho.
Hey, no.
Why didn't you have me in Nacho Libre?
Hey.
Whatever, man. I love him,
but,
though.
But you know what?
Here's a guy who can do all those movies and co-write with Wes Anderson. That's, you know.
Well, that's where I shifted in my mind.
That's a career to have, man.
Well, I said to myself, I said, you know what, though? This is a guy who got it done because he made stuff. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Bottle Rocket.
I have, absolutely.
It's a great movie. I mean, this guy, we know him because he...
Because of Bottle Rocket.
Because he took, you know, we all have ideas, but he took his idea and got it done.
Right,
and it was good, and he was really great in it.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's pretty much great in everything he does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he does his thing. He does his thing. And it's,
I try to not be a fan of his because it's so easy to be a fan of his, but I actually like Luke Wilson, I
got
to say.
Yeah, he's got that thing going.
Damn you.
I know.
Damn you, Luke Wilson.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Sure.
So this has been some podcast. Hi, welcome. We actually have two people in here that we don't know. Oh, my God.
Oh, now I'm all cramped. I'm all...
Yeah.
But you got a few more minutes. You got 15.
Oh, really?
What the hell?
Who should we talk? I didn't even know I could do a Luke Wilson. I was, like, actually pulling off a very bad Luke Wilson. What else would you like to discuss, Mr. Coyne? And for the record... Yeah. I told this to Tim. When I was in high school, there were these two twins that went to my school called the Coin Twins. Oh.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like two little Heather Locklears running around all day. Oh, yeah.
Can I tell you a lame pickup line I used once in college?
What?
This is how
you
bad
like,
I am.
You look like one of these two twins that were in my high school?
No. There's a girl in my school, and her name was Penny.
Mm.
And I just went up to her and I said something like, hey, you know, if we dated and then you fell in love with me and we got married, your name would be Penny Coyne. And she's like, you are a loser.
You are such a
loser.
Excuse number 365, why I'm not going out with you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
That's why Neil's book spoke to me in a weird way.
Did it really? Yeah,
yeah, it did.
How to Pick Up Chicks?
Yeah, I wanted to do a podcast on that, but I couldn't get the technology going because what I needed... was something discreet that could pick up not only me, but anyone in this big group that I would approach. I was going to put Neil's practices
to... Oh, so you were going to try to be a pickup artist.
I was going to go to like three or four different places and use three or four different techniques and see what happens. And I just couldn't get the technology going.
Yeah, really?
Or the balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. When I was in high school, I had
By balls, I mean guts, Dan.
Yes. I understand. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
There's real people here now. I'm nervous.
I know. Now we're all... I know. They could be looking at modern art right now, and they're listening to us talk about Luke Wilson.
Yeah. Can I tell you about a waiter job I just had?
Yes.
That I left?
Let's talk about your life for a moment.
Yeah.
You left a waiter job.
I got this job,
You
okay?
have a chauffeur job also.
Okay, yeah. My job...
Discuss.
Okay, let me quick review. This is like the log line of my life. I'm a scooter driving.
Right.
No bed, sleep on a... Pilates mat, 34-year-old.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's not even a futon?
No, it's a Pilates mat on a floor. And the room isn't really a room. It's like the kitchenette that I put up like a fake like cardboard wall up.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I know. I know.
Okay. 34.
Pilates mat.
You quit your waiter
scooter.
Job. Scooter.
I drive a 14-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl home from school every day.
Do the parents know that you do this? You wave a Snickers bar out the window? Hey.
I'm thinking about telling them.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Little extortion?
Yeah, and I just got a job waiting tables that lasted for 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, because what they did was I wanted 3 days a week, okay? Long story short, I get my schedule. I got my 3 days, and every four other days of the week, it says... You know, whatever the shift is, 11 to 4 on call.
Oh.
4:45 to blah, blah, on call. So I said, what's this on call thing?
Right.
And they're like, oh.
Well, if we need you.
Yeah, an hour before the shift, you need to call in here. And if we need you, you come in. And if we don't, then, you know, then you're all set.
Pardon me?
Yeah. I was like, are you kidding me? This is what I do. And not only that, I got to call you.
Right. If you need me, call me. See if I'm seriously, you're supposed to check in with them like they're your parole officer?
Yeah. So I start like kind of making plans like, yeah, I can meet you tomorrow at 11. Probably.
Maybe,
I don't know.
I got to call my mom and see if it's okay.
I'll call you at 10 and tell you if I can meet you. So it's unbelievable. So I just ended up leaving. Yeah. It's illegal, by the way.
To do that?
What they're doing.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
But this is the
That's
glamour.
Los Angeles, though.
This is the glamour, Dan.
And was the restaurant near your place in Santa Monica?
Yeah, it was.
Because here's how I see you.
I walked to work, Dan.
You're tall.
Yeah.
You're handsome. You're good looking. You shave your head very close, and yet you're not actually bald.
Right. Enough to prove that it's by choice.
Right.
Like, I'm shaving because I'm hardcore, and if I wanted to grow it down, like, you know.
You could do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're fit. You have no children.
Right? Yeah. See.
Things are going well.
I like that.
And
description.
You could even explain away the Pilates mat as some sort of fitness thing. Like when a woman comes over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you know, it's better for my back if I, you know, and I just wake up and I start doing Pilates.
That's funny.
You know what I mean? Like some people have a cigarette. You do some down dog. Like I don't know Pilates terms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But like you do sunrise, sunset, whatever it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
There you go.
You know what? That is how I explain it. The two things I go with are the rare times where a woman has stepped foot in my place without being a roommate. I've said that I'm just a simple guy. I'm a simple guy.
Right.
I like to keep things simple.
These are all choices.
Choices. And it's good for my back.
Right.
I'm simple and it's good for my back. And then I say I like to be able, if I need to flee tomorrow morning.
I just roll up my Pilates.
Yeah, like Jack Bauer or something.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I got to get the hell out of here. Boom, roll up the mat, and I'm gone.
Right.
Like David Banner.
Like David Banner. Yes.
You know, he's on to me. I got to get out of town.
Absolutely.
Gone.
Once somebody sees you turn green, you got to split, man.
I got to split, dude. Yeah. They saw me in town turn green.
Exactly.
I'm out of here.
Now, when you say David, is David Banner the Bill Bixby Hulk? Or is that the comic book Hulk? Because there's David Banner and there's Bruce Banner. Not to get too comic book geeky on anybody.
Oh, you know what?
Because I think one is Bixby and one is the comic book.
I'm thinking TV show with Bixby.
You are. You're a Bixby guy? Okay. I'm more of a Bixby than like a...
Wait, so you're saying so in the car...
I think in the comic book he might have been...
Bruce.
Yeah?
And I think... So
back
maybe
in the kind of the Jack Kirby, I'm going to pull out all the... I have four comic book references. I'm going to go through them right now. All the Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Hulk. That was Bruce. Bixby was David.
But am I right, though? It was on the show. Was David Banner,
right? I think
it was
Banner, David
Banner, yeah. Yeah, that's weird how they changed it.
Maybe Bill didn't think he looked like a Bruce.
Yeah. That was a cool show, man.
It was a cool show. I was a big fan. We lived in New York when that show was on, and we would come to L.A. to visit family. And we had to take the Universal Studios tour. Did you ever do that when you were a kid?
No, I didn't.
This great thing where the rocks would come down a hill. That was like the greatest thing in the world. Big foam boulders. And they somehow tied it into the Hulk, and they'd make a Hulk sound.
Oh, because like you could hit the boulders because they were
maybe
fake.
Maybe you could hit the boulders. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was all lame.
Yeah.
There was a $6 million man.
Oh, I was totally into that.
Something. Yeah, were you really?
I was into that, too.
Were you bionic in your backyard all the time? Going,
oh, totally. I think every I mean, we were doing that. I had the doll and everything. You look through the eye.
You look through the back of his head.
Yeah, you look through the back of his head.
Yeah, and you could see no differently than if you didn't hold it to
your
head.
And I had a classmate. His name was Steve Austin.
Are you serious?
And yeah, if only that had happened during college, he probably would have got some action from that. But he was so young.
When you're
that,
seven, maybe not so much.
Yeah, he just got
it. Hey, I'm Steve Austin. You know, who cares?
But we thought he was the coolest guy going.
But was he bionic?
No. See, I'm so bad at improv. I'm supposed to say yes and.
No.
That's a groundling thing.
No.
I should have said yes.
No,
and then,
because
I denied
said,
you.
No, because I assumed you would say no, because let's face it, he wasn't bionic.
He wasn't bionic.
Let's be real. This is a podcast.
True.
We're honest.
Very
he
honest.
He was not bionic.
Very genuine. Scooter, Dan.
You had the hot
it's
hot
raining.
For Lindsay Wagner when you were a
Oh,
kid,
Lindsay Wagner. You know, I recently saw an episode of that again. Not that recent. Like within the last year.
Yeah, really?
A, she was so beautiful. And B, she's really good on the show.
She was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like her work kind of holds up.
Yeah. And yet the Ford stuff, not so much.
The Ford, right, the commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
Yeah, we don't know.
Lindsay Wagner was
kind of
happy
for her, though.
She was almost like the, I don't want to say Pamela Anderson because that's a little too distorted, but how would you who would you liken her? Like almost Jennifer Garner.
Who is today's Lindsay Wagner?
Right?
I think you just nailed it.
Her show's like the alias of.
I think you just got it.
The people that are way too old to be discussing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Does anyone know even what we're...
Does anybody really know? No.
Yeah.
No. Sorry.
That's all right.
Okay, so Josh Lucas...
Right.
...was... I don't know, because I can talk about things that young people...
Josh Lucas. I did a show...
I don't even know who that is.
He's the guy... Actually, I just saw... he was in that most recent movie, Glory Road.
Oh, him. That's Josh Lucas.
I did remember. I did a show on this guy, a show called Discovered... Yeah. About this dude who's just kicking around town and, hey, you want to be in Glory Road and get paid $2,000 a week for 2 months?
Yeah, sure.
And then he moved to L.A. and...
Nothing happened. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And now he's working in the IT department of CAA, which is, you know, the biggest agency in the world. Yeah.
But I'm still in showbiz.
Right. He's still got a toe in the water.
Yeah. Any day now, my agent's going to call with that big break.
It could happen.
When they do another Hispanic basketball movie, they'll remember me.
That's true. No. He's ready, man.
No. See, that's the weird thing. And we talked about this at the very beginning, and maybe we'll end you know, very soon.
We'll bring it back around, Dan.
You don't leave L.A. You just adapt, right? So here's this cat. He comes to L.A. He can't get acting gigs.
Yep.
So then he thinks he's going to keep his toe in by getting a job in the IT department. But then what happens? A casting call comes out for a 6'2" Hispanic basketball player with some movie experience, and they won't cast this guy because he's an IT guy.
Yeah.
Right? He's not an actor. He's an IT guy. And everybody at CAA sees him as...
Oh, right. No one
an IT
CAA.
Guy.
Yeah, because it's all people
but
see
But he thinks,
you.
Oh, I'm at CAA. They'll be able to get me a job. No, they won't.
No.
You're
no.
help desk now.
Actually, to his credit, he, at CAA, not to ruin the story, but he, no
don't,
one there...
Don't ruin the
no
story.
One there,
he's ruining the story. You should probably go
oh,
now.
See, I knew it. He told no one that he had
been in Glory Road.
Yeah,
I'm sure they don't watch movies and don't recognize familiar faces that they
true.
See every day. It's CAA.
Hey, there's you know.
Hey, there's the guy from the IT department. Wow, that's freaky.
Oh my God, he just dunked over Josh Lucas.
Yeah, he must have been an extra that got bumped up to a line or two.
Josh Lucas.
All right, we're done.
Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, well, gentlemen, thank you. Our civilians left.
Yeah, no, this is theater of the mind, Dan. You need to make it feel like.
Well, thanks for tuning in to whatever this has been. I'll put a disclaimer at the front that we use the word screw.
Yeah, what else did we use?
We use balls. Screw. I said, God damn it.
I said balls.
You said balls.
I said sexual intercourse at one point.
Yeah, yeah. Which was okay.
Okay.
These stairs are a bitch.
Hey, Jan. What do you say we bang out a screenplay in between
stairs? These stairs are a bitch.
My nose is crooked, but it gives me character.
I'm so jealous of him.
I know. I'm so vindictive.
But you know what? He has to hang out with Ben Stiller a lot, and I don't know if I could take that, frankly.
It's true.
Yeah. God bless you, Ben. All right. Thank you for tuning in. This has been the Other Dan Class Podcast, brought to you by LA Podcasters at LAPodcasters.com. Tune into The Hollywood Podcast at TheHollywoodPodcast.com.
I have both, Dan, HollywoodPodcast.com and TheHollywoodPodcast.com.
You're listening to My Name is Tim Coyne. I am an actor and a writer.
Living in Los Angeles.
Living in Los Angeles.
And this is Dramatic Pause. The Hollywood Podcast.
All right, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thank you for...
Produced by Jacket Media. JacketMedia.com, makers of fine podcasts since 2004.